That's right. You heard it. It's Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic. And I don't know if you own a calendar. And I don't know how up-to-date all of our listeners are. But it's March, my dudes and dudettes. It's March. We have waited this entire season. Non-conference games. Tournaments in November. Conference play. And it's the last weekend until the major conference tournaments. And we are almost a week away, 8 days away from Selection Sunday. I'm Elijah Campbell. She's Michelle Knezovic. This is Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic. And Michelle, I don't know if you've heard. I know you own a calendar. I don't know if you've heard.
Listen, I own a calendar, but I don't check it very often. No, of course. I think we even said this last episode. That was our last episode of February. Now we're in March.
Yes.
Let the madness begin. We've got College Game Day on the TV right here. Something big to mention, I'm sure, that everybody knows. Today is Coach K's last game as a head coach at Duke. They're playing UNC. Mm-hmm. How fitting.
That's the only way it should go out. His last game at Cameron Indoor should absolutely be against North Carolina. And that's what we'll start off here, too. I mean, Coach K, you can make an argument in terms of, like, the greatest college basketball coach to ever live. I mean, this guy through multiple eras in which the game became more equal and more egalitarian than it has at any point in the sport's history. Like, John Wooden obviously won a lot of those titles with UCLA, but at the same time, like, only 32 teams were in the NCAA tournament. The game wasn't as spread out the way it is now, and it was that singular era. Coach K started in the mid-80s coaching at Duke, and, like, college basketball from 1986, when he went to his first Final Four, to now, is dramatically different. He's had to evolve. He's had to change with the times, and that's not easy for coaches that in this profession have large egos. They go through massive power trips because they have so much power at these places. It's not easy for them to change. A lot of them know it all by the time they get this big job. And Coach K, who was hired when his last season at Army was 9-17 by Duke, has built a
He's built a dynasty.
Yeah.
He's built a dynasty at Duke. And in addition to that, his longevity in coaching, even just recruiting and society changing and with social media and how you get different players over the years. For instance, in 2018, it was a State Farm Classic in Indianapolis. I drove up there. It was Duke, Kentucky. It was a Zion year at Duke. And I went to the symposium beforehand, and it was Mark Emmerich, the commissioner of the NCAA, Coach Krzyzewski spoke, and there were a couple other speakers talking about the one and done and talking about NIL and paying players. And right, this was 2018. This was pre-COVID. This was obviously pre-NIL. Now here we are now. NIL is official. Players are being able to make money.
The game's changed dramatically in just those 4 years.
And Coach K originally was against the one and done. He was like, no, like, we don't like this. He was able to adapt to that. He was able to adapt to, you know, paying players. It has just changed so significantly, even if we look at the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, obviously, if you turn on College Game Day, they're going to be talking about it all day. But I do think it was important for us to, you know, start off the show and mention this. Even though Duke, you know, they've stabbed my Kentucky BBN heart a couple times.
The Leitner shot will live in infamy and BBN lore as long as we live.
There are a couple of shots that will, but I think it is important, just the game of basketball, you know, what he has done for the game. You know, if you want to get emotional about it, Jay Billis, Coach K coached him. He obviously is very important in his life, and I'm sure the 30 for 30 will be coming out soon.
Oh, and it's going to be wild, and I've really enjoyed reading a lot of the stories, whether it be on The Athletic or whether it be on ESPN Daily, a really good episode with Pablo Torre and Wright Thompson, who has been following around Coach K this season. And Wright, he wrote a piece about Coach K's final season and what this last game against North Carolina at Cameron Indoor is going to mean to him. And all these stories of, like, after losses, Coach K won't sleep. Like, he pulls, like, frequently pulls all-nighters. Like, the favorite story I read this week, too, is when he would coach the Olympic team. Like, you got LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, James Harden. Like, the team is so loaded that you're going to win every game. You're going to win every game by 30, and that's what those teams did. But Coach K for 5+ hours is watching film on Nigeria's last game. He put in over 5+ hours of film watching after a game, after one of their exhibition games. Like Jim Boeheim said in like one of the stories, he's like, I watched 30 minutes and left. And Coach K is still there cramming through hours and hours of film of Nigeria's national team, a team they would go on to beat by 83.
And that's significant to say, because going to Syracuse and hearing the media stories about Jim Boeheim is that he is a freak when it comes to watching film. Random mid-major teams will stay up late watching so much film. So to hear that, it just shows how much he loved the game. But I do have a bone to pick. And this was a little rant I had this week on Robbie and Rex Road in the morning.
Oh, this is good.
I don't know if – I mean, I'm sure you have seen one of the biggest headlines for this game coming up is the ticket prices.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest ticket on StubHub is about $3,900. And the median, the average, is about $5,300. And I'm sure today, the day of, they're just skyrocketing because people are probably trying to get tickets last minute. And that really, really bothered me. And I know we can't – like there's no way for us to, you know – change that or anything, but it's just really sad to me. Like going to school at Kentucky, I remember it being so hard to get into the lottery. There's a lottery, and then you wait and to see if you can get tickets for certain games, and you have to do it for like every four games of the season. And I'm sure at Duke and other big basketball schools, it's probably similar.
Game those kids like camp out for weeks.
the last home game of the season. You know, you've got seniors. It's just sad that it's becoming an elitist thing to go to these games. And I get it. It's Coach K's last game. He's such a prominent figure in all of this. But to me, it's like, don't you want your Cameron crazies? Don't you want the fan base, the students? Like, what are we going to be sipping wine and cheese? Like,
right. It's going to be insanely expensive. And a lot of it, too, comes from – it doesn't help that Cameron Indoor is tiny. And, like, Duke's had the money to be able to get a new facility. However, it's just, like, one of those things, like, you don't ever want to change from Cameron Indoor because it's become, like, it's, like, the crown jewel of authentic basketball venues. So when I saw where it was $5,000, the first thing that popped in my head is just $5,000, because that building is not very big. And if you buy – that's the best thing, though. If you do end up – if you just so happen to have $4,000 to spare for that cheap – that, quote-unquote, cheapest ticket, you're still going to be able to see the floor pretty well. So at least it's not like that. But, I mean, you're right. That's a ton of money to fork up. And, of course, I don't know exactly what the student policy is in getting to the games. But I do know, like, Krzyzewskiville came out of the need for those because kids were camping out for weeks for, like, especially the North Carolina game. At any given year, kids are camping out for weeks to get in line for those tickets.
Exactly. And it doesn't even matter that North Carolina isn't a top team this year in the ACC. And Duke is clearly the front runner. I mean, anybody could win this game.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if UNC upset in Cameron Indoor at Coach K's last game? That'd be insane.
It's the biggest upset, one of the biggest upsets in the history of that rivalry, which would say a lot because there's plenty of times where one team was down one year and the other team was really good, and the other team that was really good got by the team that wasn't supposed to be that good that year. It's amazing how that happens in this rivalry, but that's something to watch for today. And there's a lot going on in the town right now, too. The SEC Women's Tournament has tipped off already, several days of action. And my biggest takeaway so far, Michelle, LSU got upset because Kentucky's Ryan Howard is one bad lady. She went out there and dropped 32 points on LSU last night and upset Kim Mulkey, who was losing her marbles at times in the game.
And who ended up getting ejected.
And ended up getting tossed. Yeah, we had multiple ejections. Alabama's coach got ejected against Tennessee. The Lady Vols are now in the semifinals.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just misspoke. Alabama coach got ejected. Kim Mulkey got a technical. She did not get ejected. But on Twitter, there was some back and forth.
She probably should have been. It's amazing. I saw Joe Rexroad's tweet where he was like, you know, maybe Alabama's coach should learn a thing or two from Kim Mulkey about being able to get away with a lot of stuff. Well, win a couple national titles and rack up all these wins and become one of the greatest coaches in history of the game, and then you'll earn that leeway, I guess. That's probably where that comes from. But that's a shocking upset. To me, at least. I mean, I didn't really think Kentucky had much of a chance against LSU. I kind of expected to see LSU in the final of this thing, because I expected them to beat Tennessee the way they did last Sunday. But the Lady Vols, you have to play Kentucky for a chance to advance to an SEC championship game. Now, do I think anyone beats South Carolina? Probably not, but it'd be really cool to see the Lady Vols in Nashville back in the final of an SEC tournament.
Oh, yeah. And the best thing, too, is that you're obviously going to see a lot of Knoxville fans, a lot of people traveling from Knoxville, a lot of
Tennessee fans.
Kentucky's not too far, a lot of Kentucky fans. I saw some LSU fans around the town yesterday. So it's always, if you're in Nashville, head over to Bridgestone today. See some games. So we're going to see Tennessee won last night, Kentucky won last night. Like you said, Ryan Howard.
She's worth the price of admission by herself.
She is, and she is projected to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. Right behind her is Melissa Smith. I got to give her a shout out. One of my friends' sister. She plays at Baylor. Kim Mulkey used to be your coach.
Former Kim Mulkey recruit.
Like you said, the price of a ticket even to see her, she's going to be in the WNBA. Pretty awesome. And it's right here in Bridgestone. Go see some basketball. Go support some women's hoops. And then, you know, transitioning next week. Week from today, down in Tampa, men's SEC tournament.
That's right. And the thing about the men's, too, the biggest difference between those two is the SEC has that one dominant team. Like, I don't think anyone's going to beat South Carolina. Aaliyah Boston's going to block 10 shots every game that she's in. She completely eliminates
Dawn Staley's doing pretty good over there.
Like, the best betting rule, the best betting advice I've ever gotten from Caroline Fenton is whoever South Carolina's playing in women's basketball, take them in the spread because they are spread proof, and they're one of the few teams in collegiate athletics that
are.
True
words.
I mean, they do not lose those. They do not lose those at all. They go. They are what UConn women were, especially in a conference like the SEC. It's very hard to be that dominant, but they are. And on the men's side, we don't really have that one team that we just know is going to dominate. We have a group of four teams.
Yep.
That are really good. A couple other teams outside that top four that have nipped at the heels. LSU has been started off really hot, been whatever since, and then you have teams like Florida, who on any given day could beat a team like Auburn. They got Kentucky today.
Alabama on any given day
could beat anybody. Exactly. So the SEC, the parity in Tampa for that tournament is going to be off the charts. Real quick before we head to a break, Michelle, what are your initial expectations for this tournament heading in, and which team do you think can surprise the top four that we've talked about all season long?
Surprise? I mean, I think I just touched on them a little bit. If Alabama gets hot, if we see what we have been looking for from this team, if Alabama starts getting hot from the three, they can beat any team in the country. Unfortunately, though, this year they have been just so inconsistent.
Especially on the defensive end.
Especially, exactly. But there's a team that if they get hot in Tampa, I could see them making a bit of a run. LSU, if LSU is playing a Tennessee, and what we saw from Tennessee earlier this year, who just couldn't figure out their shots defensively, they were great. If LSU pressures them on the defensive end, and Kennedy Chandler's not having a good shooting night, Zakai Ziegler's not having a good shooting night, Fulkerson, Vescovy, I could see them making a run.
Yeah.
In Kentucky's game the other night, in the post-game press conference with Marty, it was Marty Smith and Coach Calipari, and Coach Cal said, this is by far the most competitive SEC in a very long time.
I mean, I tend to agree with him. I mean,
no, me too.
Because I think it's the first time maybe in a long time since I can remember that there's two or three teams. Like, if Tennessee wins this SEC tournament, they have a legitimate case for a one seed.
100%.
Because then they would have beaten one of Kentucky or Auburn twice. They would have beaten – or Arkansas, because they beat Arkansas today and then play them in the SEC tournament. They would have beaten them twice. Like, if you beat any of those teams twice, they don't have a bad loss. All their losses are quad one losses. And when you get to the one seeds, you know, where Kansas, Baylor, Arizona, Gonzaga, obviously, and, like, Duke I don't think has a chance, even if they win the ACC tournament, to be a one seed because they have too many quad three losses.
Also, the ACC just not being as competitive as the SEC this year, which,
yes,
surprisingly, right?
Surprisingly. Yes. Usually it's the other way around that we're talking about that. That one team's dominating a weaker conference and the other one isn't. But that's not the case this year. Tennessee could be a one seed if they run the table on this, you know, just because of the quality of wins they have. So the amount of competitiveness in this is significant, and we'll touch on that on the other side. Our expectations, SEC men's tournament, there's a couple big SEC games today that can potentially determine who gets sole possession of first or of the SEC regular season crown, or who might be able to share that. We'll discuss the scenarios and more on the other side as you're listening to Courtside with Kamel Knezovic right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back courtside, Kamel Knezevic, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We ended the last one talking about the SEC Men's Tournament, which will start next week, with the SEC Women's Tournament wrapping up this weekend here in Nashville. And Michelle,
I'm sorry, really quick. I just love this song. I'm like bopping over here. Thank you, Jared.
I couldn't even focus, sir. I was like, oh, this is good. Like that's how a good bump music, Jared Cassidy on the ones and twos, can really set the tone. Jared's got a good playlist. Every week he's got a good playlist for these. He's developed quite nicely. Talent development here in the station.
Jared, I'm going to need a pump-up playlist that I can listen to before this Kentucky-Florida game today because your girl is stressed.
It's just completely random off the top of my head.
It's amazing how that works. Script. Man, but you know now, Michelle needs pump-up music because she's a little worried about Florida-Kentucky today. Honestly, this one might be the game of the week in the SEC outside of Tennessee and Arkansas because that's significant. Tennessee wins, Auburn loses to South Carolina, which anything's possible. I don't think it happens, but anything's possible. If that does end up happening, where Auburn loses South Carolina, Tennessee wins,
you
or
imagine?
Arkansas wins, they have a tie for first. They're sharing an SEC title. Auburn does win the SEC regular season title outright, though, with a win against South Carolina today. Kentucky's in the same boat. If they beat Florida and Auburn loses, then Kentucky shares the title with Auburn. There's a potential for a lot of title sharing and a potential three-team tie for the SEC regular season champions. We could have three SEC regular season champions at the end of the day. However, I don't think that happens because of Auburn. However, on the other side of that, you mentioned Florida. Florida needs a win. We talked about during the break, Michelle. They're going to play desperate today against Kentucky. Kentucky still playing for a one seed, still playing for a slice of that regular season championship pie in the SEC. How much, since you are the resident Kentucky fan here, but when you put fan hat on,
I'm really glad to hold that.
Honor. Yeah, it's an honor to have that title. When you put on the Kentucky fandom hat here and you look at this matchup, how much does Florida frighten you from a perspective of this team has almost nothing to lose because they're not in the tournament right now if the season ended today? They need a win against Kentucky to almost solidify themselves in the same position they were against Auburn a couple weeks ago.
Well, Elijah, it was what we were talking about a little bit earlier this morning before we went on the air, that if you look at these two teams statistically, right, statistically Kentucky is by far the better team.
Oh, yeah.
And
best in the league.
I was just reading to you earlier. We were looking at the 2022 team leaders in the SEC. Kentucky leads points per game at about 80.4. Field goal percentage, 48.8. Three-point field goal percentage, 35.8. Rebounds per game, 40.5. Assists per game, 16.6. And then blocks per game, Auburn, 8.1. So, by far, Kentucky is leading in all of these categories. But you look at now the whole situation, right? Kentucky's heading down to Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is one of those SEC teams where, you know, they beat Auburn. Great win for them. They've had a couple other wins in there, but they haven't been on that top tier of the SEC. Top tier right now, we've got Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Arkansas.
That's the best of the best here of the conference.
In the country. I would argue in the country.
Yeah, because those four teams can beat anybody.
So when you're one of those lower teams in the SEC, like a Florida, you mm-hmm. have a win or two over one of those teams, and then your regular season schedule is that much harder than, say, the ACC now.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida is fighting for their lives right now. If they were to beat Kentucky and have a win over Auburn and Kentucky, arguably the two best teams in the country right now.
Those are two top five wins.
Then you can't say they're not making the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, like it's...
I mean, it's hard. It's hard because obviously there are a lot of things that weigh into this. These are only two games. You have to look at longevity of schedule. There are a lot of different mm-hmm. factors for Selection Sunday. But this would help Florida's case tremendously. You're going into Gainesville. They're going to have home crowd advantage. And we've talked about
the same.
We've talked about that in college basketball, how being the home team is probably one of the biggest advantages just in college basketball, right? You're indoor in an arena, you're close, you're tight. And basketball in a game where it doesn't matter if statistically your team is this much better, anybody can get hot on the opposing team, hit three or four threes. Whereas football, it's a little bit different. If you're this much bigger, your O-line's probably going to dominate theirs. It's not as easy. So we just saw them beat Auburn. There's no reason why they can't beat Kentucky today. And I think they might have a shot. I mean, Ty Washington and Sevier Wheeler are just coming back, really. They had the last couple games. They just lost to Arkansas, but then they beat Mississippi State the other day. I don't know, Elijah. I have a big question mark heading into this game. I really could see it going. I could see Kentucky, you know, having a tremendous performance and taking the win. Great, solid, heading into tournament time. They're the better team. Not really surprising. But then on the flip side, it wouldn't surprise me if Florida pulled what they just did against Auburn.
Which is very possible. And, like, when you look at the game on paper, I like how you mentioned, like, the paper matchup. Like, Kentucky, everything. I mean, they score from all three areas much better than Florida does. They defend much better than Florida does. They rebound much better than Florida does. Everything that wins you and lose you basketball games, Kentucky does better than Florida. But what would scare me is two different things. One, the desperation we mentioned earlier, because you said if Florida wins this game, they can almost solidify it. And I know I was kind of poking holes in their resume earlier because they have the really bad Texas Southern loss in December, a very ugly loss. They have too many bad losses. However, the win against Auburn and the win against Kentucky are so much more recent than their bad losses that it's going to weigh heavier in the committee's mind because of the time proximity in which it happened. It would have beaten Auburn and Kentucky in the span of 3 weeks. And those are the last 3 weeks of the season. I think that would weigh significantly. But the second reason, I think the biggest reason I would be scared of Florida is because they play with a ton of variance, meaning the broad range in which this team plays is astounding. They play insanely slow. They're in the bottom 300, or in the bottom, 52. They rank 300th in adjusted tempo. They will squeeze possessions out, which means if they're not very efficient, which they're offensively, they're 33rd in the country in offensive efficiency. But defensively, they're not very efficient. So teams that play are able to score at a good pace against Florida oftentimes beat them. Kentucky's a very efficient team. But here's the thing with Florida, too. They are the 15th most three-point reliant team in the country. 47% of their shots are three-pointers.
And if they get hot?
And if they get hot and they play and they limit the amount of possessions you can score to, all they need to do is get a handful of stops, and they do what they did against Auburn and come away with a win. This team, Florida, is 10-0 when they shoot 35% or more from three.
That's now, an insane stat.
On the season, they shoot 31.6%. They're not a great three-point shooting team. But with the way they play, if they just shoot 35% and keep up the three-point rate they do, they're going to win the game. Like, that's just how this team plays, which is what makes them insanely dangerous. Kentucky, defensively, I think guards the three-point line really well. I think and should be guarding them well enough teams on the entire season. Only shoot 30.3% against Kentucky's defense, and then they only shoot 35.9% of Kentucky's opponent's shots are threes. That's almost 11 percentage points lower than what Florida shoots on a daily basis. So,
I will say, as of late, though, with Sevier Wheeler and Ty Washington coming back in, Kentucky hasn't been that great defensively.
It's been an adjustment.
They have. It's interesting because we saw how strong the team was when those two guys were with them, right? Their number one backcourt. And then you go a couple games where you got to have Davion Minson there. You got Toppin in there a little bit more. Those two guys are out because of injury. Then you see how the team, okay, adjusts around those two players. And then, okay, we're going to switch it up a little bit again. And Ty Washington comes back and Sevier Wheeler comes back. You just haven't been able to see that, like, significant click yet. And, I mean, hopefully for Kentucky fans, for Kentucky, the team itself, they can figure that out today and get a little bit more, a little tighter on defense. They have been a little bit sloppy, you know, turnovers, things like that. But like I said, Elijah, that is going to be a great game, another great game in the SEC, which is going to be huge for just a resume builder. Tennessee, Arkansas face each other again. Tennessee's looking to go undefeated at home in Thompson Bowl Arena.
Yep, and that would be a big feather in their cap, too, when trying to get that one seed. We'll break that game down on the other side as you're listening to Courtside with Kamel Knezevic right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tennessee Vols have a chance to go undefeated at home at Thompson Bowling Arena this season with a win against Arkansas today. A A win against Arkansas would be one of many ranked wins, as they have dethroned Auburn, Kentucky, and Arizona, all teams that were in the top five when they played them.
We forget to mention that Arizona win being one of their biggest.
Massive. That thing that is the biggest, because Arizona is a team I have as the number two overall seed in college basketball right now. That team, when they, Seth Davis made a good point, like, which team in college basketball has the best A game? Like, when they're on their best, who looks different than everybody else? I think Arizona might be the closest to that. And I think Arizona's most aesthetically pleasing team to watch in college basketball this year, too. And Tennessee took them down at Thompson Bowling Arena, hung 77 on an elite defense.
Quick, Elijah, I'm just on Twitter right now. Mike Wilson already tweeted a picture. Lower bowl of Tennessee student section is full, 145 before tip-off against Arkansas.
Wow.
Pretty awesome.
Wow. That's pretty significant. That game starting at 11 o'clock Central here. And Michelle, we teased that game. We're going to have to break it down because this one is pretty significant. Both these teams kind of cut from the same cloth. They're built similar. They played just a couple weeks ago. Arkansas holding Tennessee to 48 points, which is something because the magic number for Tennessee seems to be about 55. They scored 55 points. They're like 20-3. But when they don't reach that plateau, they are very bad. They cannot lose those games because Texas Tech got them in a game like that. Arkansas got them in a game like that. A lot of their big losses come from whenever they go stale on offense. But you can also attribute it to the defenses that they've been playing to. And Arkansas will smother you defensively.
And I think that's going to be one of the biggest takeaways or biggest keys to the game, you could say, for Tennessee, is we need to see the offensive performance that they have been putting on of recent, and we cannot see them slip into their old habits that they have been a couple games ago. Kennedy Chandler is finally looking like he's not a freshman point guard out there. He's finally looking like, okay, I feel comfortable on this court. I feel comfortable to take my shots. Exactly. And of course, it makes sense that beginning of the year, he's a freshman. It's his first time playing. Think about Thompson Bowling Arena. It's insane.
It's
these big SEC arenas are insane. And one of our big points we just were talking about while we were on break, so Kentucky went undefeated at home.
Correct.
Auburn went undefeated at home. Tennessee's looking to go undefeated at home. And Arkansas, we are checking on that right
they
now.
They lost to Vanderbilt at home. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Vanderbilt beat them at home.
Their only home loss is to Vanderbilt.
Okay. So almost undefeated at home.
Almost. Only one loss.
This is how significant these home court advantages are in college basketball. We talked about it a lot. Okay, here's some stats to back it up. I personally think that Tennessee, we're going to see a tremendous performance from them today. Kennedy Chandler, like I just said, finally feeling really comfortable on the
looking
court.
Looking a lot better.
Dishing the ball, setting up plays, just executing things really well. Who do you think is going to be maybe the most significant deciding factor in a win for Tennessee today?
I think the biggest thing for Tennessee is a lot of it's shot creation. I think what kind of shots they're going to be able to create. Tennessee relies a lot on assist. They're, 61% of their buckets are assisted. And one thing that Arkansas does really, really well is takeaway cutters. That's exactly what happened in the game at Arkansas. Arkansas defensively played the gaps. They denied every pass and made life hell for Tennessee. I think getting back to what Tennessee does best and being able to facilitate, like this is where Kennedy Chandler is going to be significant. Zakai Ziegler is going to be significant, and not from scoring the ball. Are they going to be able to pass very well? And that's where, when Tennessee's really good, Josiah Jordan-James isn't a scorer necessarily, but a secondary facilitator. I think if he can be able to help run this offense, to be able to be a guy who can take somebody off the dribble and be able to find somebody cutting off ball, is going to be really important, because Arkansas took away that aspect of the game completely at Bud Walton Arena, and as a result, Tennessee scored 48 points. They were taking a lot of three-point shots, which isn't bad, but they took a lot of contested, late at the end of the shot clock, three-point shots, and those are bad three-pointers. It's like, not all three-pointers are created equally, and Tennessee shot the bad kind against Arkansas the first time. I think if Tennessee can at least dictate that part of the game, the defense will follow. Tennessee forces a ton of turnovers. Arkansas sometimes has a tendency to cough the ball up. Arkansas, however, in offense, they're only second turnover percentage this year, but 80th overall in the country in turnover percentage. They've been better as of late, but Tennessee is pretty darn good at turning you over. So that's the one thing I guess I'm looking at on both sides of the ball. But also, there's the J.D. Notae factor, too. That guy, at any given point, and as Kentucky learned the hard way, even when you're dominating the boards, J.D. Notae can cancel that out with his scoring ability.
Elijah, I just pulled up the stats from the Tennessee-Arkansas game back in February. Arkansas ended up winning. It was 58-48, right? Very low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm. Rock fight.
Tennessee was only shooting their game field goal percentage 27%, three-point percentage 16.7%, and then overall 66%, whereas Arkansas field goal percentage 30%, three-point 22%, and then overall 77%. So clearly right there, you know, Arkansas had a much better shooting performance. And, I mean, yeah, that helps being in your home court, right? More familiar with it. I think Tennessee is going to have to make their shots today. I think point blank, I think these teams are actually going to be a really good – I think it's going to be a really good matchup. But as far as, you know, size, as far as basically every other category, it's going to be who shoots better. I think defensively these teams are both – I think Tennessee is better defensively. And I think if they can rattle Arkansas a little bit, not let them get open looks, balls in transition.
And if they can force Arkansas to settle for a lot of those threes too. Arkansas is really an SEC play, only shooting a little over 30% from three. Like, they don't want to have to rely on that. They love to have to – they love to – wear you down inside and then open up the three-point shots after that because your defense is so preoccupied with defending the paint. And like in the last game, like when Arkansas beat Tennessee, they only shot 22% from three at home and threw up 22 of them. And Arkansas, not many teams win games in which you're scoring 0.85 points per possession. Like that is not a good recipe to win games. I don't think that's also sustainable, especially when Tennessee's playing at home. The emotion that's going to be in that crowd. It's John Fulkerson's 60th senior night. Like, it's gonna be a lot. And I just don't think – I think we'll see a completely different game in terms of offensive efficiency.
Well, the student section's already practically filled up. We just saw a picture on Twitter. And also, I'm on Arkansas's website. They're just coming off a very close win over LSU, which LSU probably should have won that game.
Oh, yeah.
LSU being one of those teams. Very iffy. They're another team that could make a run in the SEC tournament.
Yeah. LSU is one of those teams, too. Like, they're hard to figure out because they do one thing really, really well. And that's better than every team in the country. And that's force turnovers and then get in transition. What kills me about LSU is they can score 75 points in a game. And like, oh, they play pretty well on offense. Well, they got a lot of those on transition. But when you slow them down and make them play in the half court, they're not a good passing team. They have a couple of guys that can, you know, beat you on the drive. Tari Eason is a fantastic offensive player, but he's surrounded by other guys that aren't fantastic offensive players. So sometimes getting him the ball is hard, and you can almost game plan him out of certain games. And you've seen a lot of teams do that already. The one thing you don't want to do with LSU is turn the ball over more than you normally would and then them get buckets in transition, because that's when they can score 70, and if they can hold you under 65 – you're toast. And that's the main reason they win a lot of these games. It's the reason they beat Tennessee. Like, they love to get out in transition. They deny every pass, so they make you have to beat them off the dribble, and they have great on-ball defenders. But that's very beatable if you run a fluid offense. You're a team that has a lot of good passers. Arkansas, while offensively can look really good at times, because J.D. Notae can take anyone off the dribble. Adis Tony can take a lot of people off the dribble. They're not the best passing team in the world, too. And that's where LSU is able to get themselves in the game with people. But if you can honestly just, like, take away or you're able to complete passes, you're able to screen and cut well, you're going to be efficient against their defense, and you just don't turn the ball over, they're not going to score a ton of points. So LSU, like, it's a lot of things that dictate those games to determine whether or not LSU is even going to be in it or not.
Well, it makes sense too, right? Okay, LSU forces a turnover, get a breakaway shot, right? But when they actually are on traditional offense, I guess you could say, right?
Half-court offense, where you have to slow it down a little bit.
You have to slow it down and actually create your own shots. That's a weakness of theirs. So they play off of the, let's get turnovers, let's break away, let's get ahead, because they feel more comfortable. But when a team's playing traditional defense on them and they're both at the one side of the court at the same time, it's harder for them. Elijah, I just pulled up. So we've got the SEC slate today. That first game, biggest game we've been talking about, Arkansas at Tennessee. That's going to be 1 Central Time. Then we've also got Alabama at LSU. Alabama's 25th in the country
both
right now.
Both of those teams, that the variance in which both of those teams play means this game is an absolute toss-up to me.
Yep. South Carolina at number 5, Auburn. If we were to see an upset there, Auburn would not be regular season champs, and then maybe some co-
I think they'd be – yeah, they would share it regardless, I believe.
Yeah, they wouldn't
They would not win it outright, which is – if all you have to do is beat South Carolina, you might as well not accept the third or half of that trophy. They should beat South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, they should. Sorry, I misspoke. It's going to be 11 a.m. Central Time, Arkansas at Tennessee.
Let's put an extra one in front of it.
As well as Alabama at LSU. Then at noon, South Carolina at Auburn. At 1, Kentucky at Florida. Then you've got 2:30, Georgia at Missouri. 5 o'clock, Vanderbilt at Ole Miss. We're going to get into that game a little bit. And then also at 7:30, Mississippi State at Texas A&M. It's going to be a good – if Vanderbilt could get this win, they could be a solid team for the NIT.
Oh, they have a lot to play. And that's what they have to play for. And real quick before we get to give and go on the other side, SEC tournament coming up. We've talked about the contenders, but then there's teams like Vanderbilt who do not have honest NCAA tournament aspirations here, but – can make some noise to get into the NIT. What do you think Vanderbilt has to do today against Ole Miss, obviously win, and then how far into the SEC tournament do you think they kind of have to get into the NIT? Because this is where the NIT is looking, and they're looking at teams that might have gotten hosed from the NCAA tournament to be the one seeds, but the lower seeds in the NIT are kind of like teams like Vanderbilt.
I think they definitely need to win two games in the SEC tournament, right? Mm-hmm. So if you could get a win over, I don't know the exact setup right now, but a Missouri team, a South Carolina team, Ole Miss. I think they have a good – Ole Miss is home today. Vanderbilt is traveling to Mississippi to play them tonight. I think we just need to see – it's hard because that Florida game the other night, that easily could have been a win for them. That would have been a nice check on their box, a nice resume builder for the NIT. They've had a couple really close losses where they just can't get over the hump with these SEC teams. But if you're a Vanderbilt fan, the promising thing is that they're in it.
Yeah.
Right? Just a couple years ago, they had practically no shot at beating. They were
any of these teams. No.
They didn't, I wanted to say undefeated, but they were the opposite of undefeated in the SEC.
Very defeated, yeah.
Very defeated.
0-18.
0-18 in the SEC. And you can say what you want about Jerry Stackhouse. I know there's definitely different views on whether he's a good coach or not, but this is finally we are able to see his guys he's been recruiting get on the team. He's finally been able to establish how he wants this program to look. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really promising if you're a fan. The SEC is the most competitive it has been in years. And Vanderbilt is not out of it. They held their own in that Kentucky game at Memorial – or in Kentucky, actually.
Yeah,
they beat Arkansas at Arkansas.
The only team to do so.
The only team to do so this year. And they're holding their own. I think if they could get one or two wins and the SEC tournament, I do think if they do face one of those top four teams, right, if they make it, I don't think they'll be able to get a win. But, hey, you never know. It's college basketball. So we'll see. I think they could be a little bit of a sleeper in the SEC tournament.
I think as of now, they would be playing Georgia in the first round, and then the winner would play Florida because Florida, as of now, is the sixth seed. That could change a lot because there's Florida at 9-8, South Carolina at 9-8, LSU at 8-9. And Alabama at 9-8, right there, all clustered up. They'd be playing one of those schools. And as of right now, technically, I guess Florida is the six. But a win against either of those teams would bode well for your SEC or NIT bid hopes. And then if you beat one of those teams, you're playing one of the top four. And then if you beat one of those top four in a tournament setting, the NIT will be drooling to have you in, so which would be a fantastic progress, cherry on top of the progress milkshake here for Vanderbilt. But coming up next, picks. We're going to give you some gambling picks. It's time to give the people what they want on Give and Go. You're listening to Courtside with Kamel Knezovic right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's the ultimate finale of the show. It's what's going to win you some money this weekend. And that's Give and Go on Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Elijah Campbell. She's Michelle Knezovic. And we are armed and dangerous, but armed with picks.
Elijah, I'm laughing really quick because somebody on Twitter, always working is handle just said, hey, give me some college basketball locks for today, which we are going to. And I said, don't worry, they're coming up at 8:45. And he's like, I have had two coffees. It's 9:45. And I was like, wow, I haven't had my coffee yet. You're right.
Michelle is functioning on mountain time right now. Yes. So pardon the Twitter faux pas there. But, I mean, it's that time. We might as well go ahead and give the people what they want. And we'll go ahead and start off with the games that we talked about earlier. We broke them all down. The biggest games in the SEC, Tennessee and Arkansas. Tennessee looking to go undefeated at home this season. Tennessee favored by 6 points. Let's throw the hook in there. I think it was 6.5 yesterday, I believe. 6.5, Tennessee favored. I'm going to go with Tennessee minus 6.5 against Arkansas. Today is a statement day for the Tennessee Volunteers. Michelle, are you giving or going?
I'm going to go with that one too, Elijah. I think that, to be honest, I think you'll easily make some money on that pick. Mm-hmm. You know, Tennessee's looking to go undefeated at home. We broke down the game a little bit earlier. I think that offensively, Tennessee is going to have a great day. And I think if you're a Vols fan, you're going to feel pretty confident heading down to Tampa next week.
Jared, our resident Vols grad, Tennessee grad. Jared is on it. Jared, are you giving or going Tennessee minus six today? You're the fan here. How are you feeling?
I'm all down for it.
Oh, he's all down for it.
He says Tennessee by more than six. Love it.
Listen, Nick, our intern, who is our betting guru, who I always ask him about all the lines and everything.
He's on top of it.
Listen to this. He took Arkansas at plus 8.5 yesterday. So the line has actually gone down.
Wow.
That is huge. That's a good get, Nick.
Yeah, 8.5 is that. See, that's scary. But I'm feeling Tennessee today.
I'm feeling Tennessee too. And as hard as is it for me to say, because we all know, I'm a Kentucky fan. But listen, when it comes to money, I'll make sure to give you the right ones.
And we're going to go to Kentucky here next. Kentucky, Florida on the road. Kentucky favored by 4.5. A game Florida pretty much has to win. They're desperate. They play with a ton of variance. So I want to say this, Michelle. Florida plus 4.5. I think Florida's going to cover Kentucky's going to win late. It's going to be a one-possession game. Kentucky plays a lot of closer games on the road. Florida plus 4.5. You giving or going?
I'm gonna go with that one too, Elijah. I think that is a very smart way to go with it. We talked on Robbie and Rex Road, and on Fridays the lines aren't quite out yet, so we only do money line. And I actually did pick Florida. I think that Florida has a shot at winning it today, just because of all the circumstances. It's tournament time. We're in March. How about that Purdue Wisconsin game? What a way to start off March 1st!
Oh my God, that was beautiful.
And if you haven't seen it, go just watch the last minute of the game. I think Florida will cover today at the, you said plus four or plus four,
four
and a
half.
Half. Plus 4.5, I think Florida will cover. I think it's going to be a really, really close game. Mm-hmm. As far as money line, I took Florida. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I still think Kentucky wins late. I trust them more to score down the stretch, but the stat, they shoot at least 35% from three. Florida's 10-0. A lot of variance with that Gators team. They are tricky. And now to the games on our airwaves. MTSU at Old Dominion, a little trickier because MTSU was without their best player, Josh Jefferson. MTSU, the best team against the spread in college basketball. 1.5-point favorites at Old Dominion. Michelle, I'm going to go Old Dominion money line. Are you giving or going?
I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to take MTSU. It's a hard one, Elijah. Also, too, that game is going to be at 12:30 on 94.9 if you're interested in listening to it, supporting your local team. I'm going to go MTSU with this one, Elijah. Yeah. I think it's really a pick 'em. Like you said, it could go either way, but give me MTSU for that one.
If Josh Jefferson was healthy, I would feel so good about MTSU. Don't know if he's going to play. From what I've heard from people is that he's probably going to be rested up until the conference tournament because they've already locked up their seed in it. But that's tough. Old Dominion, another team that plays with a lot of variance, a little tricky. Vandy at Ole Miss, 4:30 on 93.3 Classic Hits. That one's going to be interesting, Michelle. Vanderbilt trying to bolster a resume that can make the NIT a little bit of an enticing option here. I'm trying to find. I don't know what the spread was. It was not up last time I looked. Right now it is at Ole Miss minus 1.5. So, Michelle, I'm going to say Ole Miss minus 1.5. Are you giving or going?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to take that one, Elijah. Okay. I'm taking Vanderbilt on this one. I think that Florida loss is still stinging with them, and I think that they realize that they need to have this win heading into the SEC tournament so they can try to solidify a spot in the NIT. So give me Vanderbilt for that one.
That one's close. That one's really, really close. I might flip flop on that one. That one's tough, but like Ole Miss at home, Vanderbilt plays pretty well on the road. Like we mentioned, they're the only team to beat Arkansas on the road this season,
which is wild to say.
Which is absolutely wild to say, but that one's tough. But I think I'm going to give Kermit the edge. Kermit's a good big game coach, and then on
also just love his name,
Kermit Davis. That is the name of someone who coached basketball in Middle Tennessee. Texas, Kansas. This is at 2:30 on 102.5. The game right before the National Predators pregame against the San Jose Sharks. So you can hear that on this very station you're listening to right now. Kansas favored by 6.5 at home. Michelle, are you giving or are you going? I'm going to go with You know what? I want to say Kansas covers 6.5.
See, Elijah, I'm going opposite on this one. And if you were to ask me this a couple games ago, I would have locked that down, Kansas minus the 6.5. But listen, it's later in the season. Texas, you know, they haven't been the team we thought at the beginning of the season they were going to be. We thought they were going to be a solid, you know, top 10 team all season long. Texas Tech beat them the other day. They've kind of been up and down a little bit.
They just don't beat the better teams. That's my only problem with them. They don't lose bad games. They just don't beat teams they're not supposed to beat.
They've just been in the middle, just kind of coasting right now. But I do think 6.5 is a little bit too big of a spread for this game. So give me Texas as the underdogs on this one. And like Elijah said, 2:30 on 102.5 The Game if you want to listen to that one.
All right, Michelle, now it's time for locks. We got to give some locks before we head out. I'll go ahead and start with you. What is the best bet on the college basketball board today?
Listen, South Carolina at Auburn. Auburn is favored by 15 points. Listen, it's late in the season. That spread is far too big for me. I know South Carolina is at the bottom of the SEC. Give me South Carolina plus 15. Lock it down for me. And I've also got a
guarantee.
There we go. We love a little Charles Barkley guarantee. Elijah, why don't you give one of yours, and then I'll give another one of mine.
All right. I'm going to go back to my bread and butter. It's the Mountain West Conference, my favorite conference in college basketball this year. Wyoming is needing to bounce back. They need to improve their seed in the Mountain West tournament. They're 4-point favorites against Fresno State at home. Fresno State can be a little bit dangerous because Orlando Robinson might be the best player in that conference, one of, but the other best player in that conference just so happens to play for Wyoming. Like I said it last week, Hunter Maldonado is a name you're going to hear in March because Wyoming will upset somebody. Take the Wyoming Cowboys and the points today against Fresno State.
Yeah!
Games at 3 o'clock.
Okay, I've got two more quickly for you. This one's from Nick, our intern. He's our betting guru. Like I said, Loyola Chicago money line conference tournament game today. This one's for you, Sister Jean. We know what Loyola Chicago can do. We know what they can do. Take them on the money line. We've also got Duke favored by 11. Coach K's last game in Cameron today. Yeah. The Cameron crazies are going to be crazy. Duke, North Carolina. Historic rivalry, you could say one of the biggest in college basketball. Duke is favored by 11. I think they go off today. It's Coach K's last game. The arena is going to be popping. It's college game day. Give me Duke minus the 11. Lock it down, baby.
Guarantee.
I like that. I've got two more picks as well. One is a lock, and it's a big spread too. California, bad basketball team. Arizona, probably the best in the country. It's a 21-point spread, which is massive. But Arizona will drop the hammer. I mean, like, Arizona was neck and neck with Stanford for majority of the game the other day and still end up winning by 10-plus points because that's what Arizona does. They're the fastest team in college basketball, the most efficient teams in college basketball, and they've got one of the best players in college basketball in Benedict Mathurin. California, let me reiterate, is really bad. Jason Kidd ain't walking through that door. So give me Arizona as a lock at minus 21. And it's not necessarily a lock, but I really, 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 like, it's almost locked. Like, the padlock is just about getting locked, but I haven't slammed it shut just yet. And that's Murray State 7.5 against Morehead State. Morehead State likes to play slow. Murray State has been dominant. They force turnovers. They have three or four guys that just kill you off the dribble. They beat him with size. Morehead State relies on Janiah Broome a whole lot. KJ Williams, OVC Player of the Year, will lock down Janiah Broome, and Murray State taking them.
One of those two going to be the first Kentucky team to win a conference championship this year? Ooh, hopefully.
That's a good point. That's a good question because SEC.
We'll see. Also, really quick, we said it earlier today, lock down Dawn Staley and the South Carolina women's basketball team right here in Bridgestone Arena.
For the rest of the season, lock down Dawn Staley, South Carolina. They are matchup proof. They are spread proof. Guarantee it. Oh, man. And when you hear us next week, we're going to be in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. There's so much to go. We'll have some online content as well as you're listening to Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic. We'll talk to you next week right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.